Good morning, Abotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in the middle of the fifth pasuk. Yesterday we explained that one of the attributes of a ship is that it's always focused, the captain is always focused on the main goal. And that is a mashal to the great person who doesn't get lost in the small details of life. The details are important. Sometimes you lose focus of what you're trying to achieve. Great people know how to differentiate between the road to get somewhere and the destination, which is most important. And they do not fall in the trap of making the road so important that they lose the horse. As we said yesterday, this happens in so many areas of life. A businessman can be so focused on getting the right price that he forgets about the most important thing, which is selling the goods, quality, customer service. So focused on the 5 cents that he didn't get it cheaper, which is important, but he loses focus that he's trying to sell something and people have to buy it and they have to enjoy it. That's called losing focus of what you're trying to achieve. You need people to feel good about your product. You want them to buy it. The experience has to be a good experience. But you can be so involved in certain cuts and certain areas that you lose focus. That's called losing sight of the goal. That's called losing the horse. The student who cares so much about his grades, he's so focused on getting the right exact GPA, the exact 100 that he wants, and he loses focus about actual wisdom and learning. You could be so focused on the numbers, but not focused on the purpose of why you're learning. The numbers become their own idol. An organization that's trying to help people can be so focused on the how to run the organization and all the different discussions that end up happening in the committee. This one says this, this one says that. Fast forward a year or two, they forgot their goal. It became about me or you. This is the way I want to do it, the way he wants to do it. We have to be careful not to do something because it might upset somebody. Hello, did we forget what we're here for? We're here to help people. Then it became a whole ego item. You got to tiptoe around this guy. You can't say this about this guy. And all of a sudden, we have a whole new reality. We were here to help people. How did it end up to become a contest of popularity? But that's what happens. You start an organization, you start a shul. The purpose of the shul is people should come, they should pray, they should learn, they should become better, they should become closer to Hashem. But fast forward a few years, it becomes a whole tug of war between the very people that started it, Lashem Shamayim, good people. They started it purely for the right reasons. But they get so caught up in the little details of the decisions of doing it this way and doing it that way. They forgot that the shul is meant for a higher purpose. Each one is pulling his way to get what he wants. But what's the reason why we have this to begin with? You lose focus. I mean, there are hundreds and probably thousands of examples that we could think of where a person can get so caught up in the road, they forget the destination. happens in schools. You could be so focused on the systems. You could be so focused on the people there to make sure that certain people have their kabod or have their respect. But you forgot about the students. But what I mean is sometimes a person gets older. And when a person gets older, sometimes they can't produce the way they used to. But unfortunately, sometimes there are people that are teaching that they shouldn't be teaching anymore. Because either they got too weak, or maybe they're outdated, or maybe for whatever reason, they're just not effective anymore. And now, of course, we can't do anything because they're here for 20 or 30 years. So we have to continue with people that really are not affected. But then we forget the goal. The goal is to reach the student. So what's the purpose of keeping people around if they're not fulfilling their job? I'm not talking about the people. The person themselves needs to realize that. The person themselves needs to realize, I'm not effective anymore. For whatever reason, I'm no longer the person that should do this. For whatever reason. Rarely you'll find someone say, I think my time is up. I should go into some, maybe I should write books. Maybe I should go, I don't know, it's not, I'm done. When was the last time you saw someone say, you know what, I don't think so. Why? Because you get so invested in what you're doing, you forgot why you started to do it. When you started, you had a passion to teach people. You wanted them to grow. You wanted to reach them. And maybe you were doing a great job. But at some point, it becomes more about your job than about what you're trying to accomplish. So the person, the individual has to realize that. The rabbi has to realize that. The teacher has to realize that. And of course, the school has to realize that. And we have to be sensitive, obviously, how to deal with such situations. But there comes a time where, you know, you got to sit down and you got to make changes. Because you can't lose sight of why you have a school. The school is for the future of the students. It's not for the health of the teachers. It's not for the parnasah of the rabbis. All those things are important, but that's not why we opened the school. So again, person has to always keep in mind, why are we doing this? What is the purpose? What is the goal? Again, with sensitivity, with care, we do have to take care of the details along the way. But we can never forget the horse. This is real stuff. And I'm talking about people that got involved into something. L'shem Shemayim. Why else would someone get involved in volunteering? Why would someone work so hard to open an organization, to get involved in opening a shul, to open the yeshiva, to open anything? It's always L'shem Shemayim when the person starts. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of sacrifice. But along the way, without realizing, you forget. It's not something that you actively pursue. It just happens. And you gotta be careful. Haita ka'oniyot soher. The great person never forgets why they're doing what they're doing. They never forget why they're a father. They never forget why they're a mother. They never forget why they're doing their jobs in whatever area they're in. You always have to remind yourself, why do I do what I'm doing? It happens in religion, where a person can be so focused on the way they dress. They can be so focused on the kashrut label. They can be so focused on where they pray that they forget to pray. It's an interesting thing. They're so focused on, this is my shul, this is my rabbi, this is where I am, these are my people, this is the way I dress, this is the way I talk, this is the way I... It's all, by the way, all important things. It's important to have a shul, important to have a good rabbi, important to dress right. It's important. Everything is important. But you have to remember why you're doing it. You're so focused on the smaller things to get somewhere, but you've imagined a guy is so focused on his shul, but he's not praying. He's not growing as a person. You could be so very focused on the external things of life, which are important. They are important, and not belittling external. External is important, but sometimes they become the thing. External is supposed to be just a way of getting somewhere. But sometimes they become, especially in this generation, they become the thing. The label is it. Another example Joe is giving. First, it is planning a wedding. They can be so focused on all the details of the wedding and they don't pay attention to marriage itself. So many people get excited for the wedding but don't know and are not prepared well to actually be happily married. And a lot of times the wedding plans take away from the marriage plans. All the different things that come along with getting married, for months and months and months, they're preparing which flower, which watch, which dress, which color, which this, which that. Months and months. They're preparing so much for that wedding day, but they're forgetting about the day after. Preparation for a wedding has to be something about marriage. That's the most important part. And even the wedding itself, it's meant to be a simha of the hatan and kala, not a display of a person's wealth. It's supposed to be a time where we enjoy the company of each other to make the hatan and kala happy. That's the focus. But very often it becomes something else. It becomes a different type of place to be. You've lost focus. You made the party the goal, where the goal is the happiness of the couple and their future. You lost sight of what you were trying to achieve. I want to share with you an example of this in the Torah, a very powerful example. Everybody knows that in the world of Teshuvah, there are steps that must be taken before we could say a person made Teshuvah. You can't make Teshuvah without these steps. Meaning a person can't say, okay, you know what, I changed. In the Torah's world, in Hashem's world, if you say I changed, it means absolutely nothing. Teshuvah is not a, it's not just a word that you decide to use when you like. There is a formula. It's like a guy putting on tefillin, but he puts it on the wrong place. He says, I put on tefillin every day. And really, you don't put on tefillin ever. Even though you put it on, but you didn't put it on. Teshuvah is the same thing. If you don't have the steps of teshuvah, so you don't have teshuvah. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you have the right ideas. And maybe you'll even get credit for trying. But teshuvah, you don't have. Says the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah. It's a whole book that the Rambam wrote called Hilchot Teshuvah. It's a whole chapter. Not chapter. Section of chapters. That are the Halachot of Teshuvah. So the Rambam says in the second chapter of Hilchot Teshuvah, Umahi HaTeshuvah. What is Teshuvah? So he says, Sheya'azov HaHoteh. That a person should stop doing the sin. And he has to remove it from his mind, meaning, so not only does he stop sinning, but he has accepted upon himself that he's not going to do it again. V'chen, says the Rambam, and also, Yitneham al she'avar, or yitnahem al she'avar. He has to have regret and realize the loss of sin. Sin is not just an act that you do that is forgotten. It's something that registers and there is a loss. In fact, the word het in Hebrew means loss. So he has to regret that he did sin. And he has to admit it. Admit it means stand up and say, I did wrong. Atati, aviti, pashat. Good. So the Rambam is telling you to make teshuvah, you have to make bidui. You have to regret, feel bad about what you did wrong. You have to understand the negative that came out of those actions. And you have to stop and make sure that you take upon yourself that it's not going to happen again. Those are the steps of teshuvah, well known. The Rambam says, V'ketzad hi refuatam. So how do you do it in practice? He says, what's the remedy to a person who's doing something wrong? How does he fix it in reality, on the ground? I mean, he just told you the basic outline. But he says, how do you do it? So he says like this, Mi shehu ba'al hema. I don't know if this actually could work today in our time. It's a little extreme, but the point is important. He says, someone who is a hothead, he's always getting angry. Omrim lo lehanhig atzmo, we tell him to go totally to the opposite end. She'im huka, that if someone would hit him, ve'kulal, and someone would curse him, lo yargish kelal, that he shouldn't feel anything. Usually a person curses or hits, it's okay to feel something. But this guy, for his remedy, he has to go all the way to the other side where someone would come and hit him and curse him and he feels nothing. Because he needs to go and turn it around completely the other way. He has to go extreme left. He's in the extreme right now in anger. He's got to go extreme the other way. He says, the imayat. He says, Gevah lib, meaning if he has a haughtiness to him, he struggles with arrogance. So how does he make teshuvah on that? Again, I don't know if this is recommended for today's time. Yanhig atzmo bebizayon harbe. He should behave in a way that brings him bizayon. The word bizayon means disgrace. He should act in a way that disgraces himself in front of others. Ve'yeshev lemanda min hakol, meaning he should sit as far back in the bleachers as he can. Usually he lies to sit in the front. No, go all the way to the back. Generally, you don't have to go sit in the back. But for this guy, to fix his haughtiness, he should go all the way to the back. Ve'yilvash beluyeh sahabot. And he should wear clothing that's worn out. Hamevazot et lov shehem, that belittle those who wear them. He's usually wearing all kinds of high-end goods. Doesn't walk around until he has perfection in every way. It's part of his haughtiness. It's part of his arrogance. So what does he do? Let him go and find low-lying type of clothing that's going to awaken the eyes of those who see him and say, wow, what's he wearing? It's going to lower him in their eyes when they see him dressed like that. Now, generally, a person doesn't have to wear worn-out clothing. Regular people wear regular clothing. But for him, he was wearing something top of the line, go the other way. I know a guy that made teshuvah He was very, very into cars. One of his things. Very into cars. He loved the car. He loved how he looked in the car. Probably the second one more than the first. So he made teshuvah in general. And this item he couldn't break.
He needed like the best cars, the top of the line.
Like he's a guy who breaks his lease every year. I gotta get. He gets a 2-year lease to begin with. And he breaks it after year one.
Oh, I'm looking for the newest car. He liked the cars.
It wasn't my recommendation. I don't know if I would recommend it. But he decided he's going to break this thing. He bought a $5,000, 10-year-old, cheap car. Not a car that I would recommend anyone drive. And you see him driving around in it. It was so not the guy. He rode around with that car for 2 years, maybe more. Now he drives regular cars. Doesn't drive crazy cars, regular car. Real thing. I knew someone like that.
See?
Listen up. But you get the idea. You have to go to your local Orthodox rabbi to help you figure out what you need to do to spring back to normalcy. But the Rambam is saying sometimes to spring back to normalcy, you have to go a little extreme to go back to the middle. That's what he says. He says, "Ache yakor gova haled minipo mimenu," until he uproots this arrogance about him. "Veyachzor lederech ha'emtzait," then he can go back to be middle of the road. People love the middle of the road. This is it. Here's the Rambam telling you. Go back to the middle of the road. Middle of the road. Dress like a normal person. You don't have to look like you're below the standard. Go back to dress like a normal person. Don't grab attention with your clothing. But to get to the middle, he's telling you, you have to go a little extreme. The other way. This is part of your rehab. Okay, fine. Anyway, like I said, before you apply anything that we're learning here, contact your local rabbi and he will guide you what's appropriate for you and your circumstance. No, I'll tell you why, because sometimes wearing the low-line clothing becomes a statement in itself. It's another form of arrogance. So you gotta be careful. You mean you grab attention with your high-line suits. So now you want to grab attention with your low-line suits. So you have to be careful that it doesn't become a go by lib the other way. Follow? You have to have chokhmah in this area. So extremism is never appropriate in areas where a person is supposed to be normal. But sometimes, says the Rambam, you need it to come back to normal. Now, once we've learned this Rambam, if I would ask somebody, where do we find in the Torah the greatest example of extreme teshuvah? So I'm going to share it with you. So I don't believe in the entire Torah, Ano Tanakh, but I don't believe in the entire Torah. There is a teshuvah at such a clear way like the Rambam exactly writes. Where was this teshuvah? We find in Parashat Shelah that the Jewish people on the night of Tisha B'Av, when the Miraglim came back, when the spies came back from the land of Israel, they were moments away from going to the Holy Land, and they started to cry because the Miraglim convinced them that there are giants in the land of Canaan It's a very dangerous mission. Cities that are fortified. They scared them to the point where they sat on the floor, lo alenu, like avilim, sitting and crying. Hashem says, you don't want to go to the land of Israel? It's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel. Hashem says, you don't want to go to the land of Israel? Fine. So you're going to be in the desert for 40 years. So you won't go to the land of Israel. What most people don't pay enough attention to is the reaction that took place right after what Hashem told them. Let me read it inside for you. It's worthwhile.
Vaydaber Moshe et ha-devarim ha-ele el kol b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave over the message to the Jewish people. Hashem sent him to say to them, guys, forget the land of Israel. You don't want to go to Israel. You don't like the land. Fine. You're staying in the desert of 40 years. And you guys aren't going there. Okay? That was a shake up. What happened? What did the Jewish people do when Moshe gave them this message? Sometimes in life, a person does something wrong. A rabbi comes and says, I want to tell you what you did yesterday. Very bad. And there are going to be consequences. So what's the reaction of such a person? Pasuk says that when they heard Moshe and his words that came from God about what they did wrong, vayit'abelu ha'am me'od. Vayit'abelu, lashon avelut. Mourning, when the Torah does not speak in exaggeration. We do, Torah doesn't. So when the Torah says they went into mourning, you have to imagine the greatest mourning that you could imagine. Someone had a terrible tragedy. They go into mourning. They reacted with such regret about what they did wrong. Vayit'abelu ha'am me'od. Not just avelut, not just mourning. Torah says me'od. Me'od means like extreme avelut. Probably something we've never witnessed. Extreme avelut. Why? Because they realize, ay, what did we do? Regret on the highest level. We never saw such regret in the Torah for someone who did something wrong. Next pasuk. Vayashkimu baboker. They woke up early in the morning. Next day. Tisha B'Av. They're crying the night of Tisha B'Av. They're crying that with Moshe Rabbeinu behind them, all of the momentum that they had, and they said, we're not going. We're not going to the land of Israel. It's terrible. It's dangerous. We're not doing. Now, in the morning, vayashkimu, they got up early in the morning. Vayya'alu el rosh ha'har lemor, and they went to the top of the mountain, say, hinenu. Here we are. We're going. We don't care about the giants. We don't care about the dangers. We don't care. Even if Moshe Rabbeinu is not with us, we're going. Yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu was with you, and you're not going. Today, they went extreme the other way.
They're going to the top of the mountain and they're ready to go. Nobody could stop them. Have you ever seen such a change from one end to the other end? Ve'alinu el hamakom asher amar Hashem. We will go. We are going. Ki hatanu. Because we've sinned. Look at that. Every single aspect of Teshuvah. They admit it. They up early in the morning to make sure they don't do it again and they're changing their actions. And they're in mourning for what they did wrong. This is literally like reading the Ramban. Amazing. People don't know this. People don't realize the Teshuvah that Am Yisrael made or these people made. When they heard, and they didn't hear for a month, for a year. They heard it just that night. Moshe delivered the message and right away they made that change. Amazing. The Pasuk says, Vayapilu la'alot el Rosh Ha'ar. Vayapilu. They went up to the mountain. What does the word Vayapilu mean? Says the Targum, Ve'arsha'u. They acted with Rishut, these Reshaim. Vayapilu, with Rishut. Like a Rasha, they went up to the mountain. And they suffered, as the Pasuk says, that the Amaleki and the Kenani that was living in that mountain, they came and they wiped them out. Very surprising. Here you have an example of the greatest teshuvah that someone made, at least in print, following the words of the Rambam perfectly. And it's surprising that they are called Reshaim and they get wiped out. How could that be? People crying, frightened the night of Tisha B'Av. The next morning, they're all in. Reshaim? How could that be? What happened to the Teshuvah? Here's a very, very important nekuda. Such a powerful nekuda. A person can lose sight of the goal. As we've mentioned, and can get caught up even in very important good things. You see, in their mind, they made teshuvah. Because what was their sin? Their sin was they lacked ahavat Eretz Israel. They lacked the love of the land of Israel. They lacked the courage to go and fight for the land. That was their sin. That's why they were crying, sitting on the floor. So now in their mind, they're going to make the opposite effect. They're going to go to the land of Israel with courage. They wanted to show Ahavat Eretz Israel. We love this land. We want this land. And we're going to go fight for it. Gorgeous. Teshuvah. But they made one major mistake. One. That there's nothing special about the land of Israel. Nothing. The only reason why the land of Israel is special is because Hashem said. So when Hashem said, you need to go to the land of Israel, then the land of Israel is very special. But at this point, Hashem told them he doesn't want them to go anymore. And if Hashem doesn't want them to go anymore, then the land of Israel is not special. You see, they made teshuvah
on the mitzvah. But the real teshuvah, the real mistake, wasn't about the mitzvah itself. It was about that you didn't listen to the commander. The mitzvot themselves are not valuable. Someone who thinks that the mezuzah is going to protect his home is an apikoros. 100%. You say, oh, me? Don't worry, I have mezuzah. That's apikorsut. The mezuzah doesn't have any power to protect your home. Oh, wait. The power of the mezuzah is that Hashem commanded you to put that mezuzah in your home. Oh, so the mitzvah, the tzivui, the commandment of Hashem to put the mezuzah, that can protect your home. But the mezuzah itself has no way to protect your home. That's avodah zarah. That's idol worship. When you attribute value to a mitzvah disconnected from the metzaveh, from the commander, then it's no different than idol worship. Mitzvot, the whole idea of a mitzvah is something that connects us to Hashem, the commander. When we give value to the mitzvah itself, thinking that the mezuzah is important, the Shabbat is important. Shabbat is not important. What's important about Shabbat is that Hashem commanded you to keep the Shabbat. That's why it's important. Hesed is not important. Kindness isn't important. It's the fact that Hashem commanded you to do Hesed. That's why it's important. It's the mitzvah that makes mitzvot important, not the mitzvah itself. When we give value to the mitzvah separate from the metzaveh, it's a brand, it's a type of idol worship that we have to be very careful from. Better this idol worship than bowing to idols. And hopefully we help people understand. We don't go around and telling someone who's changing his mezuzah, you're an idol worshiper. Because that's not a way to help him. That's not what I mean. But if we looked at it in its pure reality, that's what it is. I don't think the person means it that way. And surely there are good people that are just misguided or don't understand. So of course we have to give people benefit of the doubt that they just don't get it. So I'm not saying go around with your sword and start telling people you're an idol worshiper because you give mitzvot value. It's not what we're saying here. But we're looking at the subject in its pure reality. In its pure reality, someone who gives value to a mitzvah with disconnecting it from the metzaveh, from the commander, is a form of idol worship. Kindness isn't in itself important. It's important because Hashem said, I want you to be kind. Honoring parents is not its own thing. It's only something because the Torah commands you, kaved et avicha ve'et imecha. And so too, with all the mitzvot, one needs to be careful not to separate the commandment from the commander. We must realize that the whole purpose of our existence is to get close to our Creator through the mitzvot. But when we make the mitzvot their own value disconnected from the Creator, then you've lost your ship. You've lost the horse. Ahavat Yisrael. Should we love the Jewish people? Of course. Why? Why do I have to love the Jewish people? Why? For what reason do I have to love the Jewish people? Why are they different than anybody else? Oh no, because Hashem said, there's no such thing as Ahavat Yisrael if it's not connected to the Creator's commandment. Again, better they love the Jewish people than they don't. Don't get me wrong. But in its pure reality, what is Ahavat Yisrael? What's the value of it? If not that Hashem told you to love His people. Ahavat Eretz Yisrael. Same story. The land of Israel is valuable? No. Oh yeah, because Hashem commanded it is. Oh yes. You know why I love the land of Israel? Because Hashem wants me to love the land of Israel. A whole different story. It's a whole different love. It's not love of the items. It's the love of the commander who says, I want you to love it. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. What a mistake. The greatest teshuvah in the Torah. But one slight problem. They made teshuvah on the mitzvah. But they didn't make teshuvah on the real problem. They made teshuvah. Now they love Israel. That wasn't your sin. Your sin wasn't that you didn't love Israel. Your sin was that you didn't follow Hashem's commandment, who told you to love and go. And now you're making the same sin again. Now He doesn't want you to go. And you're doing the same. You did the same thing. You didn't make teshuvah. You're continuing the same path. If they can make the wrong teshuvah, certainly we can make the wrong teshuvah. A person in Yom Kippur could say, Hashem, I didn't honor my parents. I did it. That's not really the vidui. The vidui is not on honoring your parents. The vidui is, I didn't listen to you. To tell me that to honor my parents. All the vidui is about not listening to the Creator. When a person has their ship, knowing the goal, they won't make this mistake. That's why you'll find very often in our lives that we have contradictions. One contradiction after another. Well, a person is doing A on Shabbat, but doing B. They, on Tuesday morning, they're here. Tuesday night, they're there. What is going on? Now again, of course, one more time I say, when people are doing good, we always embrace that. We never tell them, oh, you're doing good, doesn't count, because you did that. We don't do that. We try to help people from the good that they do, even if it's little, even if it's misguided. We try to help them use that good to elevate them. Probably they have good intentions. They're just ignorant. But today we're talking about pure. Pure means looking at the subject with purity. I'm not telling you what you should tell people or deal with people. It's a whole different subject. But in its pure form, how can a guy do one thing on Shabbat right and on Shabbat another item do it wrong? How could it be? You keep Shabbat, you don't keep Shabbat. Answer is, because you have your value is Shabbat and whatever you think Shabbat is. But you disconnected Shabbat from the Tzivui. So that's why you can do your own version of the Shabbat that you love. Or you could keep Shabbat religiously, but then eat not kosher. Well, I don't understand you. Why are you keeping Shabbat? So how could you eat not kosher? How does that make sense? And that's what a guy who eats not kosher by mistake doesn't realize. Every guy knows everything. Doesn't care about that. Why? What's the difference? Why are you keeping Shabbat and eat not kosher? Oh, must be because you think Shabbat is important. You think Shabbat is valuable. So then your Shabbat needs to be fixed also. Again, we need to be sensitive with people. Don't tell a guy, you know, your Shabbat's not worth anything because you eat out. That is A, insensitive. And you're not helping him. He's trying to do good. Okay, so he doesn't understand. So, okay, it takes time for him to understand. Yeah, until you get to this class, you may have to go through 150 classes. takes time. He's got to learn. He's got to understand.
But the pure reality is what we're learning today. That because we attribute value to the mitzvah, so we can live a very weird life. Within the same mitzvah, we can do half right, half wrong. Within the same day, we could be extreme in doing good and then the other way doing wrong. But that doesn't bother us even. We don't even feel conflict. Because we are focused on the mitzvah. We're focused on the mezuzah. We're focused on the tefillin. We're not realizing that the mezuzah tefillin had no value. Zero. The value that they have is not from themselves. It's from the Creator's commandment. The tzivui makes them valuable. Don't separate the mitzvah from the mitzvah. That would be called losing the horse. You spend your whole life involved in mitzvot. You're studying halakha. You're delving into halakha. You want to make sure you do it right. You want to make sure you do it good. You want to make sure. Mitzvot, 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 mitzvot. But wait. Do you realize that the mitzvah is meant to connect you to Hashem? That means every time you do a mitzvah, you say, Hashem, al dat to do a mitzvah. The word mitzvah doesn't mean good deed. People translate mitzvah as good deeds. Not good deeds. Mitzvah is a commandment. A commandment that connects you to the commander. That's the horse. The horse is a life with the commander of the world. That's a great life. But if you separate the mitzvot from the commander, you end up just doing mitzvot. You're so caught up in the mitzvot, you forgot the relationship. That's called losing your horse. Because you're involved in getting somewhere, but you've lost your direction. It's another great example. The gravest teshuvah in the Torah, it's worth nothing because you made teshuvah on the wrong item, on the wrong piece. Don't call them reshaim. Don't lose the horse. Do mitzvot, connect them to the commander, and understand their value comes from there. And the more we understand that, the more our mitzvot will bring power and beracha into our lives. Have a wonderful day.